الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا وقال تعالى إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كثر سواد قوم فهو منهم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala has created a system in this dunya, and this is a very, very obvious system, that of cause and effect. Things are linked, certain effects are linked to certain means. A person is hungry, then he will eat some food, and that will be the cause, that will be the means, and it will bring about a satisfaction of his hunger. So that will be the effect. And a person is thirsty, he will drink something, then that thirst will be quenched with whatever he has taken. This is something we understand all the time. And a person naturally understands this. He doesn't have to think deeply about it. Person is thirsty, he doesn't have to be given some bayan about drinking some water, then it will quench his thirst. This is a natural thing. Person is sick, he automatically starts thinking about a doctor, about medication, about whatever. So this cause and effect in terms of day-to-day natural things, occurrences, we understand it. The same system Allah Ta'ala has placed in terms of our spiritual selves. And in terms of conditions that prevail upon us due to things that we do and we don't see the natural or the link between the two. But it's there. Just as fire burns, likewise, some a'mal and actions of insan burn. Just as water cools, there are some actions, some a'mal, some deeds, good deeds, that actually bring about coolness in the heart of a person, in the life of a person, in his home. Now this link between these a'mal and these actions may not be as clear as daylight, like a person switching on, pressing a switch and seeing the light coming on, or lighting a match and seeing the fire coming. But Allah Ta'ala has placed this system and it's there. And we have been explained this in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about salah. What is this a means of? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَىٰ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ That a person who is performing salah in reality, he's performing it correctly, he's fulfilling all the etiquettes of salah, the devotion and concentration is there, he's performing salah the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught how that salah should be performed. صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي So now when he's performing salah in reality, the effect of that salah is, that it will stop him from all kinds of ill deeds, anil fahsha'i wal munkar, all kinds of immorality, and all kinds of lewdness, and all sins. The salah, this is the effect of it. Then it won't be the case that a person has left the masjid, and he's already involved in every other sin. And in the masjid also he's contemplating sin. If his salah is salah in reality, that will be the effect. If his salah is salah in reality, in the light of so many ahadith, this is clear cut, and in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that the salah becomes the means of his rizq and sustenance coming easily to him. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا Allah Ta'ala says, you command your family members to perform their salah, you be punctual upon it as well. And together with that, Allah Ta'ala says, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا We don't ask you for rizq. We are not in need of you providing any risk to yourself or anybody. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ We supply and provide this sustenance. we grant rizq. But the link between these two is obvious, that where salah is being mentioned, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about, don't worry about you being the provider of rizq. The Mufassirin explained that salah is that means to gaining that rizq. And in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi expressed the same thing. Person who performs his 5 daily salah punctually, Allah Ta'ala will make his rizq easy for him. So this is a means and that's an effect. Salah is the means and rizq is the effect. Likewise, in the hadith sharif, we explained that man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahima. Aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one who Allah wants barakat in his life and wealth, that's the crux of this. Now this is the end result. This is the effect that he is looking for. So how will he get there? What's the means? فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَا. That he must join family ties. He must maintain kinship. Maintain family ties. This will bring about barakat in his life, barakat in his health, in his wealth. This is the means, this is the effect. This is on the positive side. Just as this is the positive side, this is also the negative side. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions many things. Among them, for example, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that وَلَمْ يَنْقُسُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ. That when people will cheat in weight and measure, they will cheat in weight and measure, then there will be famine. There will be what we can term as inflation. Constant rising prices of commodities. There will be oppression from the rulers. Now we will analyze it with all our details and get all the expert analysis on it. But the analysis has been given to us upfront in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we will look for the means elsewhere. Allah Ta'ala has already spelt out, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spelt out, what will be the means, what will be the effects. And people will cheat in weight and measure, this will be the end result. And وَلَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. When people will hold back zakat, Allah Ta'ala will hold back the rains. And the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَلَوْلَ الْبَهَائِمْ لَمْ تُمْتَرُوا. Had it not been for the animals and the other creatures of Allah Ta'ala, not one drop of rain would have come then. And then further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that when people, when immorality will become rife, وَلَمْ تَزْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ. When immorality, sins, evil, and all kinds of shamelessness, when this will become widespread, when it will become rife, إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَاءُ. Then you'll get plagues, and you'll get those kind of illnesses, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that لَمْ تَكُنْ مَدَدْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ, which their forefathers had never heard of. Whose forefathers heard of AIDS? And whose forefathers heard of Ebola? And heard of all the various other illnesses? But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spelt it up front. And it's not that if some kind of antidote is found for these things and it will be the end of it. This wasn't there before. If the conditions don't change, if people don't change their actions, Allah Ta'ala is powerful over everything, he'll bring something else. So in any case, all these things have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a community, when a people, they will engage in righteousness, in good actions, then this will become the means of good conditions coming upon them. This will be the cause and the effect will be good conditions. And on the other side, if they will engage in sin, in lewdness, in shamelessness, in all kinds of evil and vice, in gambling and fornication and zina and whatever else Allah forbid, then these are the kind of conditions that will prevail. Now this is the effect of sin. And in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a person becomes deprived of rizq. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقْ بِالذَّمِّ يُصِيبُهُ. A person becomes deprived of rizq due to the sins that he's committing. He's committing a sin, and that becomes a means of his risk being taken away. So in any case, these are the effects of these actions. But is there something worse than sin also? This is the effect of sin. Is there something worse than sin? What is worse than sin is blatant sin, open sin. Person cannot be bothered, what's going on? This is worse than sin itself. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahirin." Everyone in my ummah will be pardoned. Person, some regret will come, some remorse will come. He'll make tawbah and he'll be pardoned. He will turn to Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. Illa al-mujahirin. Except the open, flagrant sinners. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, these people, very difficult that they will get pardoned, because when they are so blatant about it, where is the remorse ever going to come? One type of blatant and open sinning, which is not even thought about, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجَاهَرَ. One way in which this occurs, is that a person does something secretly. At night he did something, nobody knew about it. And وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ. Allah Ta'ala concealed it also. But then he wakes up in the morning and he says, Ya Fulan, amiltul barihata kada wa kada. And now he starts talking about it. He starts exposing his own sin. That was one sin what he did. This is a separate sin, he's talking about it. I went to the movies, this is what I saw. That's another sin even talking about it. I went here and I did this. That's a sin in itself. Is haru dhambi dhambun. To expose a sin is a sin itself. It shows total heedlessness. It shows like a person has a don't care attitude. Doesn't bother me. So this is a very dangerous thing. This is something which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says actually takes away the tawfiq of tawbah. That a person will never even repent thereafter. And when he doesn't repent, where is the pardon going to come? So this is one way in which this happens. Then the other is, this is still one stage lower. That a person did something but he did it secretly. But then he himself went and exposed it. And the other worst thing is that a person then sins blatantly and doesn't even think anything about it. He doesn't bother who's looking, who's watching, what's going on, who will notice. This is my life, I'll do what I want. Who is there to tell me what to do? Is this really our life? Is it not the amanat of Allah Ta'ala? Are these eyes really ours? If Allah Ta'ala snatches it away, can we bring it from anywhere? If these ears Allah Ta'ala takes the hearing away, how will we listen to that music again? Then we will say that the ears are mine, I can listen to music. These eyes are mine, I can look at any haram. These feet are mine, I can walk into any gambling den and any zina den. Is it really ours? If Allah Ta'ala just causes one little fraction of something to happen and a person is paralyzed, then where is his? And what is his? What did he come with? Could he do anything when he was born? Could he clean his own mess? Could he feed himself? Allah Ta'ala gave him all this strength, all this ability. Allah Ta'ala gave him everything. And now he starts challenging Allah Ta'ala. My life, my eyes, I'll look what I want to look at. My ears, I'll listen to what I want to listen to. My hands and feet, I'll do what I want. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that illa al-mujahirin, that those who are open, flagrant sinners, this thought of tawbah also Allah Ta'ala will take it away. So this is the other way, that this open sinning. Now this happens in so many different ways. One of the ways, unfortunately, has become the social media. That a person now does anything and everything, sometimes the most terrible things, and then it's put onto social media for anyone and everyone, or for that whole group or whoever, to all know I did this. And here's the pictures also. Now this is open, flagrant sinning and displaying of sin and challenging, na'uzu billah, challenging Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That doesn't matter to me. I am above everything. I am immune. So this is something that unfortunately has become so widespread. In one click of a button, a person has displayed that sin to thousands. Then together with that is the aspect of the way that people dress, and especially women dress, and then walk around in front of anyone and everyone. This is not things to mention in the masjid and in the house of Allah Ta'ala, but these are realities that we have to grapple with. These are things that we have to take note of. These are things that we have to sit and reflect and ponder upon. There's not one, two, or some isolated cases. Several instances where youngsters have come to discuss a problem or via some correspondence. I cannot even be safe in my own home, the person says, because my emotions are stirred by my own sister's and mother's dressing. The way my mother is dressed, the way my sister is dressed, it's stirring my emotions. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. What depths are we getting to? And do we realize what's going on, what's happening, what is the effect of this? And that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this shamelessness will become rife. Then we are inviting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالرِّبَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. When zina will become rife, zina is not only one aspect of zina. All the things that even lead to zina, zina al-ayni an-nadr. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the zina of the eye is looking at haram. How widespread is this? وَزِنَا الْيَدِي الْبَطْشِ. The zina of the hand is touching haram. How common this is. So, this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when zina and riba and interest becomes rife, whether giving, whether taking, in whichever form, فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. They have already brought down the azab of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, it's so certain, it will come. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. That these are the means to bring this effect, that it will bring down the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So these things are things that we need to take, reflect upon, to take note of, and keep ourselves away from this. Then one other aspect that has become, unfortunately, an occasion or a place where it's a combination of so many sins that are done openly and without any care, are occasions of weddings. How many sins? There's intermingling taking place, and everybody is quite comfortable with it, illa mashallah. If there is any provision of any sort, then it is one parda corner, so called. And in other words, so to say, that Islam, deen, you stay in the corner. You don't come and interfere in our affair. You stay in the corner. We'll make a provision for you in one side. Don't come and spoil our fun. Whatever Allah Ta'ala said, in the corner. So there's intermingling taking place, there's music, and then there's photography, and Allah forbid every other time you hear something beyond, then there's dancing. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, people will spend the night dancing and listening to music. A time will come when this will happen, and this has been prophesied. They'll wake up in the morning as swines and apes. This will be the azab that will come overnight. But each day something beyond, and then the wastage. And this is all done on an open scale. And then millions of rands are spent, and everybody is out to do the other. Where will this end, and what is going to be the effect of this on the community, on the ummah at large? This money that is spent, tens of thousands of rands on flowers. People don't have flour to bake their bread, to make some roti at home. And that deco, which is all torn and thrown away within moments after that. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands are spent just to make a name for a moment. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, in 1961, he's a person of a very great caliber, passed away some 15 years ago. He was a person who was well acclaimed in the Indian subcontinent among the Arabs as well. When he passed away, they even made, according to the Shafi Mazhab, Salatul Janaza for a person who's far away. In the Haramain Sharifain, Salatul Janaza was performed for him. This is the caliber of the person who won the King Faisal Award for service to deen. Over a million riyals, he's distributed every cent to the madrasas of India and Pakistan. India didn't keep one cent for himself. That caliber of person. In 1961, he was still a young person at that time, comparatively. And he visited Burma. And he saw the kind of lifestyle and the wastage, and the kind of weddings that were taking place. And he observed all this, and then he gave a talk in one masjid there, which to date is on record, is on available on certain websites, the translation of it has been printed, transcribed and printed. And in there, he mentioned, it was over an hour that he spoke, And towards the tail end, he mentioned something which at that time nobody took notice of. And he addressed the person and said to them, that look, please come back onto deen. And come back onto the effort of deen. And sincerely make an effort to bring the deen of Allah Ta'ala alive. And he's even went on to say, had it been in my capacity, I would have shut down all your factories and shops and everything, and I would have made everybody dedicate some time to bringing deen alive. And he said, you do this, bring deen alive, this country will be yours. Your businesses and your everything will be protected. And then he said, but please mark my words. He said, Yaad rakho meri baat. If you don't do this, bahut mushkil waqt aane wala hai. A very severe time is coming. He actually said these words, that you'll get expelled from your country, you won't be able to live here, and your businesses won't remain yours. He said this and went, and people thought somebody is ranting and raving, and what does this person know, he's coming and telling us all these things from a different country, and life carried on as it was, which unfortunately happens often, that people don't take heed and just continue recklessly, life carried on. And some years thereafter, the revolution took place, and overnight, a person went the next morning to open his business, there was some security personnel or army people standing, they said, please give the keys, it's no more yours. Overnight, everything changed. A person who had everything, he was penniless. People left, many of them left, thousands left. They left whatever they were wearing and what they had in their pockets only. That was it they left with. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. What we have to take note about is that we have to bring back deen alive in every aspect of life. These occasions, these weddings, these are very happy occasions. We start off by making Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy. We make Allah Ta'ala happy, Allah Ta'ala will make us happy. Allah Ta'ala will make that couple happy. Allah Ta'ala will put barakat in that nikah and marriage. But unfortunately, we want to make everyone happy, even make the maids and servants happy. But the last thing we think about is first making Allah Ta'ala happy. So this is one part of it, but it doesn't finish off there. One is the person who is wasting that money of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that amanat and gift of Allah Ta'ala. That is one part of it. It's not the end of the story that I didn't do that. The other part of the story is, it's not permissible to attend such a gathering. In one hadith it is mentioned, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he was invited to a walima, and he came, and as he approached, he heard some music. So he took a U-turn. So somebody saw him coming, and then saw him taking a U-turn. They asked him, Malaka Raja'at? What happened? You're going back? So in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned that he replied and said, Inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum, aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the person who adds to the numbers of a people, he is counted as amongst them. I will be in the gathering where sin is taking place, an open sin. And whether I participate in any of those evils or not, I am one of them. So how can I be one of them? He took a U-turn and went away. And this is the thing, this is not about breaking family ties. This is not about relationships being cut. But the first relationship that we have to maintain is a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That is the first relationship. And then merely without breaking family ties, the issue is not attending a function where there is sin. We cannot be part of it. We are, our first loyalty is to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and to His Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the day of Qiyamah, we will need His shafa'at and intercession. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day, no relative will want to know us. Our own parents and children won't want to know us. But the only personality that will be saying, Ya Rabbi Ummati, will be Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if we are turning our backs onto Him today, then what shafa'at can we expect on that day? On that day, we will need Him. We will not need anybody else, we'll need Him. So therefore, to gain that shafa'at on the day of Qiyamah, we have to turn back to deen, come back to the way of life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, cut out all this haram from our functions, cut out all this music and dancing and intermingling and everything else. Come back onto the way that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاهِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرَهُ مَأُونَ. That nikah is filled with the greatest barakat, wherein the least amount of expenses were incurred. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of coming totally onto deen, bringing our lives onto the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala keep us with iman, take us with iman, and raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.